This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday. Yes, I'm back. Sorry, I was out yesterday. Nothing I could do about it, but I am back today. I'm back tomorrow. I'm back forever. That's probably not true, but either way, I'm back today and tomorrow, and man, there's just no way we can get to everything now. Let me go ahead and give you some of what we're going to try to get to tonight. I have your endless emails upset at Pam Bondi. We'll talk about that. The messaging around the Epstein stuff. We're going to talk about that. The communists obviously are still lying about the SAVE Act. Democrats are being very, very honest about who their actual supporters are. The devil knows scripture too. Josh Hawley lays something out, and I think Delta Force needs to step in. Communists are violent. All that, endless emails, and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But before we do any of that, I have to do something absolutely terrible, but something really, really important. We try to make this a priority on this show. We do not always succeed. We will not always succeed. But when people give their lives for this country, outside of a wartime scenario, those people are oftentimes never mentioned. The public never hears their names. Ever. If you die in training or in transit or just an accident of some kind, most of the time the American public never hears their names. Now, if I sign up to join the Marines and I go over to Afghanistan and I get killed fighting the Taliban, you believe that I died in service to my country and I gave up the rest of my life to serve my country, correct? It's, frankly, in my opinion, an act of heroism, correct? Now, if I sign up and I join the Marines, I sign up to serve my country and I'm based in 29 Palms, that's where I was based, and we're in a Humvee driving around and a tire blows out and drives off the road and the Humvee flips and I die in the accident, is my sacrifice somehow less than dying in Afghanistan? I would argue it is not. And the problem is the families, the devastation is the same. Afghanistan or a flipped Humvee, the devastation is the same. What that person gives up is the same. If you die in training or in something like that, that is an act of heroism, giving up your life, the rest of your life, for your country. We try to honor those people on this show. Again, I know I missed some, and I'm sorry. But we just lost a Marine. The USS Iwo Jima. Now, this happened, I think it was last week, and I knew about it after it happened, but it takes time because the family has to be notified and everything else. It takes time for them to release the name, and we like to release the name. And this guy's 21 years old. His name is very difficult, and I'm going to screw that up, and I apologize for that. It's just beyond me. 21-year-old Lance Corporal Chukwumeka Ofora. He fell off the USS Iwo Jima. This was on February 7th. Not uncommon. You got a bunch of guys out at sea working, playing, that things can go wrong. And it's very difficult to find somebody when they fall in the ocean. They looked and looked and looked. They did not find him. He's been declared dead. This 21-year-old Lance Corporal gave his life for his country. He's not going to get medals, but he sacrificed. He gave up the rest of his life for our country, and he deserves to be honored. Semper Fi, brother. All right. So let's talk. Because, man, oh, man. I missed a day, didn't I? I show up, and these are my emails. Jesse, I can't deal with Pam Bondi any longer. That's all. Jesse, what did you think of Bondi's horrible response today? Jesse, Attorney General Pam Bondi displays the same contempt, arrogance, and disdain for the American citizens. So on. All right. Now, I'm a day late and a dollar short on this, but for those, maybe you missed yesterday too. Pam Bondi gets called in front of Congress. This is an opportunity for people to question the Attorney General. She has to be questioned, right? She's an Attorney General. She's not a king. She has to be questioned. So Republicans are going to question her. Democrats are going to question her. And this part's probably going to be important for the purpose of our conversation here. She knows this day is coming. It's not like she wakes up that morning and gets a text message. Hey, you need to be in Congress in 20 minutes. It's something you know is coming. You absolutely positively know it's coming. And you prepare. You prepare for it. Not necessarily because of Republicans, who are going to give you a lot of softballs. I realize there are some exceptions. Thomas Massie went after her pretty hard. But you prepare because you understand that Democrats are going to come after you. Every Democrat there, they're going to try to get a wonderful little 30-second, one-minute soundbite so they can fundraise off it and appear on the news and be the next communist hero. Every Democrat in the House is trying to launch their next Senate bid by questioning Pam Bondi. Pam Bondi, Republicans in general, would know this. It's not exactly news. It's not breaking news. You know this. I know this. Everyone knows this. Pam Bondi knows this. So what do? You prepare. You have rebuttals prepared. You don't necessarily want to make them sound like prepared rebuttals, but you know they're going to come for you. You know they're going to bring up this. And you go in with a plan like you would in any scheduled debate. Maybe you debated in school or just with friends. When you know you have a debate of some kind coming, you know generally the punches they're going to throw, and you plan ahead of time for counter punches. Now, the Epstein stuff. The Epstein stuff is awful in every way. Every part of it is awful. That there are billionaires, presidents, royalty, just famous people that do this kind of disgusting stuff all the time. And it's all the time, by the way. It's not like this has stopped. It's awful to think about, isn't it? It's awful that powerful forces have worked very hard to cover it up. It's awful. It's awful that there are obviously a bunch of scammers and schemers who jumped into this whole thing to make a buck who aren't really victims of anything. That's awful. Every single part of it is awful. Now, what did Pam Bondi say yesterday when they came at her about Epstein? Why are you so upset? Why are my emails full of resign, Pam Bondi? Well, in case you missed it, here it was.
The Dow right now is over The Dow is over $50,000. I don't know why you're laughing. You're a great stock trader, as I hear, Raskin. The Dow is over $50,000 right now. The S&P at almost $7,000. And the NASDAQ smashing records. Americans' 401ks and retirement savings are booming. That's what we should be talking about. We should be talking about making Americans safe. We should be talking about, what does a Dow have to do with anything? That's what they just asked. Are you kidding?
Okay. Look, there's no defense of that. That is an indefensively bad answer. If our boys, when they were younger, they're old enough now to handle it themselves, but if the wife has to leave town and I forget to feed the kids for 2 days, and she calls and tells me, why haven't you fed the kids? You know what I can't say? Hey, I got a bonus at work, $500. I don't want to hear about feeding the kids when I got $500. It doesn't land very well, does it? Hey, what about this billionaire pedophile ring? Have you seen the stock market? And it was prepared. Didn't come out of left field. She planned ahead for that. Let's talk about the messaging from the White House, the failures of it, why there are failures, how they can probably get it tightened up before we get to that. Let's get to this. Let's get to the violent criminals out there everywhere. You know, this Nancy Guthrie kidnapping story is awful. It's also very common. Hers is getting all the news because her daughter is famous, but people get hurt, kidnapped, murdered, assaulted. My mom told me last night she's having trouble sleeping since this story came out. I get it. I can't tell you that violence is going to go away. All I can tell you is you need to protect yourself. You need to protect yourself. Ah, but Jesse, I'm not allowed to own a gun. Don't care. Berna is there. Ah, but Jesse, I'm just a little old lady. Anybody can shoot a Berna. Anybody. Young, old, men, women. It's non-lethal. Legal in all 50 states. Shoots pepper balls or tear gas balls. It'll save your life. BYRNA. Don't just be afraid. Do something about it. Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. And before I forget, I need to remind you that tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. All 3 hours belong to you. Whatever you email in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com, I'll pretend to be a doctor and I'll answer any of your questions. Although medical questions are probably not going to be the main topic, but ask me anything, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Pam Bondi, Attorney General, sits down, congressional hearing, gets asked about the billionaire pedophile ring that Jeffrey Epstein apparently ran with all the global elites, not all of them, but a bunch of them. And she says, well, hey, the stock market's doing great. Why aren't we talking about that? All right. I'm going to read you a headline. Don't worry. I'll bring all this together in a moment. The headline is, America's wealthiest households driving nearly half of consumer spending. Consumer spending is up. Consumer spending is up. And then you dig into the numbers and you find out it's all rich people. It's a top 10%. Okay, where am I going with that? Stay with me. You've heard stories before. I'm sure you have in the movies. Maybe fiction, maybe nonfiction, because this really happened, of kings and queens in ancient times who would put on the clothes of the commoner, and they would go walk around their kingdom pretending to be a commoner. You've heard these stories before? Of course you have. I mean, shoot, I think they did it in Aladdin. But that is a thing that actually happened many, many times throughout history. A king would drop the crown, drop the fancy stuff, put on something a little dirty, a little ratty, maybe rub some dirt on his face, and he would go down to the market where they're selling bread and fruit and horses, where it smells like horse poop. He would go down. Now, why? Well, if I'm a king, let's pretend I'm a king. I like that. King Jesse. What, Chris? Now, let's say I have a fairly unintelligent lackey who works for me. We'll call him Chris. Chris, because I care about my kingdom, I'm a good king, Chris is going to bring me reports, paper, all the time. He's going to tell me, are people making ends meet? Hey, Jesse, King Jesse, sorry, please refer to me as that, Chris. King Jesse, here's your wealth report. Hey, King Jesse, the people are eating this much. Hey, King Jesse, they're doing this. I can have all the information in my hands. My lackey, fairly unintelligent, Chris, he'll bring me this information. I can read it. Why in the world would I ever put on stinky clothes and go step in horse poop when I'm the king and I don't have to? I can sit right here and eat grapes and yell at Chris, my favorite things in the world. Why would I go out and mingle with the commoners? I might get pushed around. Why would I do that? Because there is a difference, a huge difference, and smart kings know this. Smart CEOs know this. There is a difference between knowing and experiencing. You can read all the forms. You can listen to this. You can listen to that. In life, so often you have to experience things. There was a great television show. I think Mike Rowe did it. Forgive me if I'm wrong about that. And forgive me if it's still going on. I don't really watch TV anymore. But the television show, the idea of it, or what they did was they would go to big companies and they would have the CEO of the big company. He would put on a uniform and he'd go work in the factory. And they wouldn't tell anybody. They would, oh, undercover boss. That's right, Chris, undercover boss. He'd go work in the mailroom. Hey, I'm Bob. I'm the new mailroom guy. It was a wonderful show. And I loved it because so often these smart, accomplished guys, super rich, he just got there on a private jet with a mansion and a pool, and he knows what they're going through. Look, I already know. I don't need to go to the mailroom. I know what they make. I know the mailroom's going fine. I know we haven't had any accidents, so it's a safe environment. We just put in a new kitchen. Everything's fine, right? There's a difference between knowing and experiencing. You have to walk into the mailroom to find out the heater's broken. It's 65 degrees in the summer, but it's 45 degrees in the winter, and everyone there is freezing. Napoleon, one of, if not the greatest conquerors in the history of the world, he didn't just talk to his marshals and his generals. He would walk the lines and talk to normal troops, and he would ask them, how are the pants? The pants you were issued, are they okay? Too hot in the summer? Do they rub the wrong way? How's your weapon? Does it shoot every time? You have to get down there with the troops. The Trump administration's messaging on the economy, on Epstein, has been awful. I think the Trump administration's done a really great job as far as being president. The messaging has been so bad, it's criminal. We'll continue in a moment.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Thursday, talking about the messaging, the anger you have about the Pam Bondi testimony from yesterday. Hey, Pam, what about the billionaire pedophile ring? Here's Pam.
The Dow right now is over. The Dow is over $50,000. I don't know why you're laughing. You're a great stock trader, as I hear, Raskin. The Dow is over $50,000 right now. The S&P at almost $7,000.
Trump all the time. We got the best economy in the world, hottest country in the world. This economy's great. Why aren't you talking about how great it is? I have emails like this. Jesse, I can't beeping stand it when I hear wages are up. I must have been an overachiever by getting that unnoticeable $1 raise that put me in a new beeping tax bracket. I got less this year. Quit beeping talking about the economy, Trump. I have emails like this all day long. So what is the problem? What has been the problem with the Epstein files, with the economy? What has been the problem? Donald Trump is a businessman. That's how he grew up. He grew up in business. Billionaire, New York, real estate, world business deals. Trump golf course this, Trump golf course that. For a guy like that, the stock market is everything. Now, remember, this is a guy who, at least from what I can tell, genuinely does care about working people and blue-collar people. But if you ask Donald Trump to gauge how good the economy is, how good anything is, well, Donald Trump would always just point to the stock market and say, we're fine. If you ask Donald Trump about how the economy is, Donald Trump will tell you loudly, and they've done so many times before, well, we're going gangbusters. We just had a big deal. We just struck a deal with Italy. We just struck a deal with Apple. We just struck a deal, multi-billion dollar deal. We got a trillion dollar deal. We have deals coming in. And for Trump and the people around Trump, well, that's good. It's very good. The money's coming into the country. Now, if you strike a $500 billion deal with Apple, Apple's going to spend $500 billion here in America. They're going to build a factory in Arizona. We struck a deal. Isn't this awesome? And Apple brings in 10,000 people from India on H-1Bs. Did the American working man benefit from that deal? Now, I'm not actually criticizing the way the White House thinks. What I'm criticizing is the way the White House has talked. Because I actually think they're correct about a lot of things when it comes to things like the Epstein files. The Epstein files contain all sorts of disgusting and very revealing things about the millionaires and billionaires around the globe and the things they do behind closed doors. And I'm glad you know, and I'm glad I know. Also, just like we predicted, there's a lot of scammers and scummy people in there who are 100% lying about this accusation and that accusation. They have so many factual things that are completely wrong in there, the accusations are laughable. So the Trump administration, Donald Trump himself, can't put this on Pam Bondi, decided, and I don't know the reasons, maybe it was for the scammers, maybe it was to protect people close to Trump, decided that they would take the tact of just simply telling everyone to shut up about it. Hey, shut up and move on. Why are we even talking about this? But there's a difference between knowing and experiencing. For the average American like you and like me, we have watched wealthy, powerful, politically connected people get away with crime after crime after crime after crime after crime for the entirety of our lives. And if there was a gigantic cabal of wealthy, powerful, politically connected people who are getting away with abusing women, and we know who they are, and we know what they did, then what we want is some accountability from somebody. And Donald Trump was elected in part, everyone has their own reasons for voting, Donald Trump was elected in part to drain the swamp. He ran on it. Both times, all three times, drain the swamp, I'm going to drain the swamp. Well, what does that mean? You're going to take the crooks who get away with everything, they get away with all their crimes, and you're going to hold them to account, right? That was a huge sell. It is a huge sell. I'm the outsider. I'm going to drain the swamp. I'm the outsider. I'll go into the swamp and drain it. I'm the outsider. These powerful crooks, they're going down when I get in there. And then you get in there, and maybe the files didn't say what you thought they would say. Maybe the files had things about friends you didn't want out there. I don't know the reasons. But then you get in there, And one of the biggest stories out there for normal people like you and me, now you tell me to shut up and move on? Now you tell me this?
The Dow right now is over. The Dow is over $50,000. I don't know why you're.
Hey, it appears we have an international global cabal who, and many of them, they gather together and they abuse innocent young women. Is someone going to go to jail for that?
The Dow right now is over. The Dow is over $50,000. I don't know why you're laughing.
Hey, we have a video of Jeffrey Epstein with what appears to be a 7 or 8 year old girl on his lap sitting with another powerful man on a plane. What are we doing about that?
The Dow right now is over. The Dow is over $50,000. I don't know why you're laughing. You're a great stock trader.
We have reports out just from the emails that we've seen. Bill Gates has been working very closely with the Trump White House. Did you know that? He's been working very closely with the Trump White House. Bill Gates, from the emails, there are allegations that Bill Gates did so many things with Jeffrey Epstein at his parties that he actually brought a disease home to his wife. His wife was asked about this on camera, did not deny it. In fact, she pretty much said that was a factor in their divorce. Is Bill Gates still going to work with the White House? Is Bill Gates, are you going to do something about Bill Gates?
The Dow right now is over. The Dow is over $50,000. I don't know.
Do you know how that sounds? And they had time to prepare for this? Do you know how that sounds? It's why I've been screaming about, and I understand that's his way about Trump when he talks about the economy. It's great. Stop saying it's bad. It's great. It's great. It's great. It's the best ever. It's the best ever. Look, if you're Apple, it might be the best ever. It might be great in a lot of ways for a lot of people. For a lot of people, they've lost 25% of their income due to inflation. In the last 5 years, they have maxed out credit cards. They can't afford a home. And what you absolutely positively cannot tell that person, and maybe this is you, what you cannot tell that person who's on their third shift that day trying to make ends meet, can't afford anything, what you can't tell them is how wonderful it is. Isn't it great? Hey! I know you're $25,000 in credit card debt. Did you hear about Apple? $500 billion investment in America. Isn't that great, Bob? Look, Donald Trump's doing great things. The messaging is awful. Awful. Absolutely awful. Indefensively bad. Someone's got to get in there. I have an idea. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. One more thing on this, because I have an idea, and then we're going to motor on along here. Because we have a bunch of other stuff, things that happened today and other things. So the Trump messaging on things like the economy and the Epstein stuff, it's indefensibly bad. All right. Why is it bad? Well, I already laid it out. There's a difference between knowing and experiencing. For the Trump White House, a $500 billion deal with Apple and then a $1 trillion trade deal with Italy means the economy is fine. But that's not the American people. It's not. Epstein. Telling people to shut up and move on doesn't work. When people have questions about it, pointing to the stock market doesn't work. Now, what do you need? Well, there was a period of time in the Roman Republic when the Roman Republic was in very deep trouble. Now, we know how that story ends. We know the Roman Republic ended up falling and becoming an empire ruled by emperors, but when it was a republic ruled by the Senate, they were having a problem, you see. because the senators in Rome, they lived drastically different lives than most Roman citizens. We think about Rome as all white marble and indoor plumbing and things like that, but that's how senators lived. Normal Roman citizens were farmers, blacksmiths, tailors. They lived very, very blue-collar lives, some of them very hard-scrabble lives. And as the senators grew more and more wealthy due to the import of foreign slave labor, not that that sounds familiar and anything else, what happened was the senators' plantations got bigger and bigger and bigger, and the senators got more and more separated from normal people, and the policies they passed hurt normal people and help themselves. After about the 8,000th uprising, they figured out we have to do something to bridge the gap. And I'm not going to get into all the nerdy details because your eyes are just going to roll over in the back of your head. But what they created was a representative of the people, of the plebs they were known as. But just consider you and me plebs, the people, just the normal average people. This representative, he wasn't some guy who was kept on the outside. He was somebody, and it's not a perfect system by any means, but he was somebody who actually had the power to veto legislation. So the country couldn't be run by a bunch of super wealthy senators completely. There was a guy who represented the plebs who would say, no, that's going to hurt working people. Hey, we should do this. No, the people in my district don't even have bread. No. It forced the people who didn't have any way to relate to normal people, it forced them to give them a voice. I have heard this. This is not something I came up with on my own, but I have heard this by more than one source that I know inside the White House. Charlie Kirk. You obviously know who Charlie Kirk was, our martyr. You know all this. Charlie Kirk spent his time traveling all around the country. All around the country. College campuses and whatnot. He was on the road. I forget what it was. It was something crazy. Like 250 days a year. When I first met Charlie, I did a show with Charlie for The Blaze. It was years ago. I mean, he was traveling a lot then, and that only ramped up. But Charlie Kirk was also very, very close to Donald Trump. I don't know Donald Trump, but I have been told that Trump almost looked at him like a son. That's how close they were. Charlie and the president, Charlie and Donald Trump, they would talk. They would text. Trump himself talked about it at Charlie's memorial. Hey, he's always calling me, telling me he needs me out here for a fundraiser. And I'm like, Charlie, I got a country to run. They were close. You could tell they were close people. Charlie was that representative of the plebs to the Trump administration. Donald Trump is a wealthy New York businessman. He's going to be surrounded by other wealthy New York businessmen. And there's nothing wrong with being a wealthy New York businessman. Lutnick and Bessent and Jared Kushner and all these. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not complaining about that. He's going to surround himself with people he knows, people he trusts. I understand that completely. But I think in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination, we lost our representative a little bit. And I think that has a lot to do with the shut up about Epstein stuff. I think that has a lot to do with the economy's great. Start talking about how great it is, idiots. Look at the stock market. I think a lot of that is because we lost our representative of the people. I think the Trump White House needs another one. And I don't know who that would be. You know, there's only one Charlie Kirk, but there will be others who will rise. Maybe you're a young man or young woman listening right now and you're getting involved. Maybe you are that next one. Don't look around for the next one when it may be in the mirror. But for now, I don't know who that man or woman would be. But I think the White House, in essence, I think they're a man short. I think they have a critical role to fill that has not been filled. And I think in order to tighten up this kind of stuff, someone has to step in.
The Dow right now is over 50,000.
I get your emails. We have a lot of working people who listen to this show, which blesses me to no end. It's just a different crowd than the normal conservative talk radio crowd. We got prisoners and construction workers and stay-at-home moms, and there are obviously high society types too. I have the emails. That's why I wince every time I hear about how great the economy is. Because I have your emails. Jesse, we had to take out a second mortgage. Jesse, all our credit cards are maxed out. Jesse, I'm not feeling any relief. Jesse, I talk to these people. I hear from these people. The Trump administration needs to hear from these people. There. That's how we fix it. Now let's move on and talk about some things that happened today. ICE Director Todd Lyons, his wife is under threat. We'll talk about that. We're going to get to Democrats. Democrats being held up by foreigners in a lot of different ways, not just the street ones, the billionaire ones. Let's talk about replacing a bad employee or just filling a critical role at your company. Maybe you need somebody temporary. Hey, I need someone for a few months. Summer's coming. Maybe you need an established, permanent person to help take you to the next level. ZipRecruiter is here for you. ZipRecruiter is here to make your life easier. They don't want you wasting time. That's what you don't have is time. Wasting time and money. Spending a month, 2 months. Let ZipRecruiter do it for you. They do it for you. They have this matching technology. They invite the top candidates and put them in front of you immediately. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody the first day, and you can try it free. You don't have to take my word for it. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse lets you try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. All right? All right. We've talked before about the tiny cabal of GOP senators. They're screwing us. We're going to get to that next hour. Before we get to that, though, communists and violence. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.